Welcome to Freedom Decoded.
We're Demir and Carrie Bentley. We're productivity coaches, lifestyle optimizers, and adventurers who love to experiment with new ways of living and working.
Professionally, we help other people get back in control of their life and get on their path to their ideal life.
You can learn more about what we do at lifehackmethod.com.
And this is the podcast where we let our hair down and give you the peek behind the curtain into our freedom lifestyle. So Carrie, I get clients asking me all the time, you're about to have your third kid. You're the CEO of a multi-seven-figure company, and you go out on maternity leave for 6 months. How? How does that even work?
That's what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast episode, and I'm so excited. So I am pregnant. The baby is due in August, and this will be our third little baby in the last 4 years. And yeah, we're super excited. I last time I took about, I would say I had plans to take 6 months, but I got real bored. And so I started working a little bit after about 3 months.
Yeah, we cleared the space for 6 months, but yeah, we didn't really need it.
Honestly, yeah, I could have taken as much time as I wanted, but of course I got bored. And so I started taking on more projects. So this time, however, I am going to be taking a full 6 months, mostly because in addition to having the baby, we also have a huge international move planned. And so I want to be planning to have a lot of time available for that as well.
And also, let's just talk about the obvious part, which is, you know, this is going to be your third kid. You want to, you know, give yourself a little bit of an extra margin of time and space and not say, oh, it's going to take 3 months and realize, oh my God, I needed four. It's better to say, I'll take six and realize you only need three. And then, you know, the other obvious thing is, let's not assume that the third kid is linearly hard from the second. We're sort of assuming that the third kid is going to be exponentially harder.
We have heard that from many parents who made the jump from two to three, that it is pretty darn hard. So in terms of our approach to this, because we are a team, we've been working on this together, we've always had a lifestyle first approach to everything in our business. Yep. And this applies in the same way. So rather than asking ourselves first, well, what's a good time to have the third kid? Or is this going to hurt the business? That didn't really factor into our decision making here. We really focused on, like, do we personally want a third kid? If so, when does it work for us, you and me, to have that kid? And then making that happen. So, this has been so critical to our happiness, I think, because rather than putting these major life decisions into basically making it outside of our control, we've managed to keep those inside of our control. And then we figure out how to make everything else work, because everything is figure outable. So we figure out how to make the business run without me for that time. We figure out how to take care of the other two kids while I'm out on a maternity leave. We're going to figure out how to do this big international move at the same time, rather than putting these things off or biting our nails, wondering if we made the right decision.
So let me digest what you just said. So it sounds like what you're basically saying is, like, hey, we have a philosophy of lifestyle first. And what that means is we're going to start from the endpoint of, what do we need in our lifestyle? What do I need in my health? What's right for our family? And then we work back into what we need to sustain in our business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. I used to gag when people would tell me, start with your values, start with your principles. And I was like, come on, like, work makes the world go round, right? You know, like, let's just get in there and let's just do it. Let's just take the next step. And I think both have, you know, a great perspective. You need to balance both. But ultimately, I've realized that more than ever, our founding principle and value is this business only works if it serves us living the life that we want to live, and if it becomes a vehicle for us basically living the life that we want to live.
Right.
And I think I've just been sort of blown away, I don't know about you, by how so many different dominoes follow from the first domino of lifestyle first. And weirdly, it's all of the things we thought we would sacrifice by putting our lifestyle first, we've gotten more of.
Yeah. And I think what's crucial to that, if anyone wants to take that approach, is you have to be 100% committed. You can't do the wishy-washy thing. You can't, like, make a decision and then call a dozen of your best friends and talk through the decision again with them. It's like, if you know it's the right decision for you, make the decision, move on.
Yep.
Then focus on figuring everything else out. Do not agonize over the decision. I can't tell you, because guess what? Indecision is a decision. So the more you agonize over it, the more you're just going to let life decide for you rather than choosing powerfully for yourself.
So when we decided to have this baby, there was zero conversation around what's this going to do for the business and is this the right time? It was simply, Carrie, are you ready? What's the right timing for our family? What's the spacing that we want with our kids? And that's exactly how we decide on mini retirements and vacations and workout schedules. We don't start from a place of like, can I work out 5 times a week? We start from a place of, what's necessary for my health, happiness, and longevity is working out 5 times a week. Now let's work backwards into problem solving around how we get that done.
I do remember having a funny conversation where our big concern was like, but if we're on an airplane, what will be the configuration of seats we should buy if we have a third kid? Just ridiculous. Completely unnecessary.
I love it. So Carrie, walk us through, and let's get into something really practical, right? Let's take people behind the scenes. So walk us through your first 2 pregnancies, the mindset that you had coming into it, any misgivings that you might have had, and maybe what the outcomes were.
Yeah. Okay. So I think with the first pregnancy with Gigi, which was about, 4 or 5 years ago now, I really had to focus on like ego death of my role in the company. Because at that point, I was still so involved in the day-to-day operations of the business, handling billing requests, customer service emails, making every single part of our site work. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I felt really insecure about going out on maternity leave because I was almost worried. I said that I was afraid that nobody could do my job for me, but the real secret fear is, what if somebody can do my job for me?
Yeah.
Then what does that mean about me? Am I now worthless to this company?
Oh my God, we could do like a 2-hour lecture just on like how profound that is. That's just profound.
Yeah. So that initial ego death was so hard and really the sort of main driver that I focused on for that first maternity leave. And of course, I delegated things off my plate. Guess what? I have never touched customer billing issues since. And I am so happy for that. I cannot even tell you. It's been nothing but good. And surprisingly, what happened with that first pregnancy was then the business actually did even better than ever.
Yep.
So, hey, I mean, it just goes to show you that sometimes when the leader steps out of the business and positions it for success before she goes, then you do actually give the business a chance to grow, which is at the end of the day what you want, right?
But wasn't the trust fall about lifestyle first? Meaning if there had not been a commitment to lifestyle first, what would have been the impetus for you to do that trust fall? Because that first pregnancy was really a trust fall. I remember having conversations with you where you were like, you know what? I'm stepping away and I know this, and this is going to blow up and I'm just going to let it blow up.
Right.
Now, in the end, it didn't blow up, but it required you to do that trust fall. And I think lifestyle first was the trust fall. It was like, mm-hmm. I don't care if it breaks.
Yeah.
I need to have this maternity leave for myself.
That, and also it's sort of like a baby's so great for that because it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that can stop that train. It's not like a vacation that you could maybe cancel or still work while you're on vacation. It's sort of like, nope. So this gigantic bomb is going to go off in your life and you know the exact date that that's going to happen. So you can prepare at least. That's nice. But like, you know, it's happening.
Yeah.
So that's really great. It's like you just have to make that trust fall. And everything turned out great. But yeah, there was a lot of trust involved with that for sure.
So tell me about the second pregnancy. Was it just the same as the first? Or was there anything unique about doing the same exact process again the second time?
With the second pregnancy, I thought it was a bit easier to prepare for maternity leave because I already had a lot of those systems in place and the team members in place. So what I did was I prepared for the business to sort of coast along without me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't prepare for any major growth or changes. We didn't make any sudden moves in the marketing or on the team or anything like that. It was just sort of like, okay, is
Hold
everybody
steady.
Good? You good? Okay, I'm out.
Nobody move. Everybody freeze.
Keep doing what you're doing. So that was really the theme of the second maternity leave.
And can I add that I felt like the whole team, I could sense from you and from the team, that having done it once, there was a sense that we can do it again.
There was not that sense of, oh, this is a trust fall. It was like, no, this is absolutely going to be fine.
Yeah.
So now, though, with the third maternity leave, we are doing it a little differently.
Tell me.
Because I'm looking at it as an opportunity to even step out of the business in a more major way and get some of those like annoying thorns in my side out like on a permanent basis. And what's most exciting about this for me is that I see a way for literally every aspect of our business to get better. And I can already see how that's going to happen. And I still have months before my maternity leave is going to start.
And I want to hear about all of this, but I just want to highlight like the mindset that you bring to this is so key and so different from when I talk to clients. When I talk to clients, a lot of times what they're bringing me is from the get-go, they're bringing me a victim perspective. Like, how am I going to get through this? And how will my team get through this? And I just want to highlight that you're bringing a perspective of this is going to become the catalyst that makes everything better in the business. That small shift might feel small, is so gigantic because it leads you to a completely different set of actions and perspectives.
Right. And while it is going to be more work for me in the preparation process, I can already tell that it's going to make me feel so much lighter and excited about the business. And the business is going to be able to grow faster and have more impact than ever before. And I know that that's going to happen if I set myself up correctly. So what's cool about that is that means that even after I come back from maternity leave, guess what? I'm not stepping back into the same role that I was before. It's going to be a higher level role.
So where do you want to take this? Do you want to talk about some of the things that you're systematizing, some of the trainings you're doing with people? Do you want to get practical, or do you want to talk more about the difference in the role that you're going to step into?
No, I want to get tactical because I think if someone's listening to this, they're curious, well, how do you actually prepare to take these number of months off? And so really tactically, what I always do first is I just make a list of like all of the different things that I'm doing right now. I think when you run a small business, the problem is like you just pick up weird jobs and you wear a lot of different hats. And especially if the buck stops with you, if you're the CEO, then that's especially true. And sort of things just start to get weird. And so you just want to make a list of like, hey, what am I actually in charge of right now?
And can I just interject? A lot of my female business owners and CEOs don't realize that they are actually a step in a lot of other people's processes. So when I have them make a list of what they're doing, if they're not actually doing it on a day-to-day basis, if they're just sort of sitting in a dark room and writing down the list, they tend to create this list of, here's the things that I do from beginning to end, not realizing there's a list 10 times as large of where are you one critical step in the process in somebody else's workflow.
Right. So a lot of the things on my list involve verbs like review XYZ before it goes live.
Yeah.
Or, you know, check work on blah, 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 or quality control, blah, 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 or create schedule to then send to blah, blah, blah. So you definitely want to get all of those areas listed out just so that you can see which systems you're actually inserting yourself into right now. Because then a lot of them you'll be like, oh, wow, this is going to be so easy. Boom, just stop doing that.
Yes.
Put that on somebody else's plate right away. Maybe they just need a one-page SOP in order to do that. Or maybe you just need to trust in that team member a little bit more. Mm-hmm. To see if they can step up and do that work. And you don't even have to make it a permanent decision. It can just be a trial. Hey, can you just take this off my plate for 1 week? I want to see how well you do it. And then we can talk about doing it on an ongoing basis. So really, making that list is the first step. Now, for this pregnancy, I'm doing something that I'm super excited about, which I'm also making a new master map of systems for the whole business. So for those of you who have taken our systems mastery course, you know that we have this thing called a master map of systems. So you might have an SOP, which is defining an individual system. But then you realize you have like 1,000 of those SOPs and you need a place where you can sort of see them all in a library together.
like an appendix or a table of contents for a book.
And a lot of things have been changing in our business. We've had some team members change. We've made a lot of changes to how we do things in our systems. And so it was time to just create a new, fresh, from scratch master map of systems. Mm. And what I'm so excited about is this will now become the training manual that any new person starting with us will be able to reference.
Yep.
To just go through everything about our business, our values, our team structure, you know, how what each of the softwares does in our business and for how they relate to each other, and then dive deeper into their specific role and get the SOPs that they need.
Oof, love
it. Of course, I'm not the one building every SOP in here. We got team members who are collaborating to help me build out all of these. But I'm really excited about this because this is going to be the core tool that allows me to delegate more effectively, especially on the marketing side and the operation side.
We're going to talk about this later, but I just want to preview something we're going to conclude on later, which is this idea, the theme of you are the limiting factors to your business. And one of the things that my business owners don't realize is that one of the key ideas or concepts that's locked in their head is how does it all fit together? By you creating this updated master map of systems, you're basically taking out of your head and putting onto a piece of paper or a digital document, this is how all of the pieces fit together. And in so doing, creating more operational independence and resilience for the team. So Carrie, what I've noticed is that you've also used this opportunity of creating a blank slate master map redesign as an opportunity to look differently at our roles in the company. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing a lot of shifting around because of the maternity leave, but also because of a recent business audit we did in terms of the roles that we need to have covered in the company and then who we're having fill those roles. So personally, as a manager, I'm getting more ruthless about letting low performers go. I've sort of gained a little bit more confidence having had to do it numerous times. And so it doesn't actually seem as scary. And what you realize is once you've done it a couple times, you actually are really limiting yourself a lot of the time. You're trying to make it work with somebody who's not the right fit. Mm-hmm. And it's because you're scared of letting them go.
Yeah.
And so if you can get over that fear and say that, like, hey, no feelings would get hurt on either side, what would you decide? Then if you can move forward with that decision, it becomes like so much easier for you to structure the team.
I've talked to you about this, and I think what's beautiful about your perspective is it's not about, oh, this person's good or they're bad or they're a low performer or high performer. It's more like in the relationship world where it's like, if this isn't my forever person, if I'm not deliriously happy with this person, I'm going to let them go because I know there's another business and another role that would be deliriously happy to have this person. And I will say all of the people that we've let go in the last like 2 years, we've either let go because they're moving up into something that's a better fit for them.
Yeah.
Or we've let them go so that they can find that better fit for them. And so that's the space that we occupy almost like spiritually, emotionally about it, which is like, it's not like, oh, you're not working, I'm gonna let you go. It's like, hey, like we're holding that space where both people get to win, where
right.
They're so happy to be working with us. We're so happy to be working with them. And it's a perfect fit for that position.
And there's always that fear, though, is like, well, could I find someone better?
Yeah.
And now we do have enough experience that I know I'm like, yes, we can find someone better. Maybe we do need to relook at the role and change the role or eliminate the role and hire a different role. But I know for a fact there is so much qualified talent out there.
Yep.
That especially for us running a remote team, and we have literally our pick of the worldwide talent, that we can find someone just right for our needs at the moment.
Cool. So what other points would you like to touch on?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I think that I've been really ruthless about creating systems around customer service policies, mm-hmm. data reporting, getting really, really crystal clear on a lot of data and new reports that I want to see key KPIs in the business. More ruthless around like finance and bookkeeping processes, a lot more ruthless around like content creation. And the theme that is sort of starting to emerge is how do we consolidate systems into like the fewest number of people possible?
Yeah.
So for example, instead of creating a content system that involves 4 different people, is there somebody we can hire that can do it all from A to Z?
Yep.
Because then I'm only interfacing with one person. So already I've simplified the process a lot. Maybe that person is an agency and they're working with their own team members. Not my problem. I only have to interface with one person.
With the agency lead.
With the agency lead. So that's where I'm really excited about is like, hey, reducing that sort of time and energy that it takes to manage a large team, actually reducing the total number of team people responsible for a process, and heck, probably improving the process at the same time.
Yeah, this is also part of professionalizing the company, right? I love this phrase. Every time you double the size of the company, all of your systems break and you have to redesign them. I just think that's a great like rule of thumb. And that's pretty much what's happened to us in the last 2 years. And so instead of going back and patching everything, you're reconceptualizing what does the company need in the next phase of growth as we double again, right? So when we went between now and when we go through the next doubling, what will the company need? And one of the things you've decided, which I think is really smart, is hey, we'd be willing to take a little bit less profit, still very profitable, but a little bit less profit in order to work with agencies and have fewer moving parts and moving bodies to manage. And in the process, sort of professionalize the company a little bit more, because a lot of these agencies, they know what they're doing.
Right.
Right. They are the pros at what they do. And so we get to look over their shoulder and say like, oh, that's what excellence looks like in content and video creation. That's what excellence looks like in ads campaigns. Right. And who knows where we're at, you know, when we double again, maybe we'll want to bring some of that stuff back in-house. But right now, this is what the company needs.
Right now. And it's interesting you say, though, we're actually not going to take a hit on the profit. Because what I was doing at the beginning of the year back in January is trimming the fat. Mm. I took a look at all of our 2023 expenses and we trimmed a lot of the fat out of every area of the business. And so we're already so well positioned to make so much more profit this year just because of that, even if we don't grow top line at all. But now, yes, we are investing a little bit of that back and restructuring some of the team members. And overall, maybe operations could go up slightly. Honestly, I don't think they will. I think we've done a good enough job reorganizing things that they won't go up at all.
So quick summary, and you can add whatever you want here. It sounds like what you're saying is, hey, I put my lifestyle first. I'm going to have this kid when it's right for my family, when it's right for me, and when I want to have the kid. But because we pre-planned for farther enough ahead, and yes, we did, because we're productivity nerds, pre-plan this pregnancy and actually design when we were going to get pregnant, we were lucky enough to do so. Then what you're basically doing is turning that into a catalyst to engineer in all of the change that you want to see in the business. So using the pregnancy as a catalyst to redesign the systems. You can hear a wild child in the background. Using the pregnancy as a catalyst to redesign systems. Using the pregnancy as a way to redesign our staffing and our org structure. And then going into the pregnancy and expecting that coming back, you're going to be coming into a completely different role. Did I miss anything there?
Yeah, no, that's exactly hitting the nail on the head. I mean, I think what I see is going to be permanently better and different as a result of stepping out onto maternity leave is our marketing. I think we're going to be getting better ROIs. I think we're going to be conducting more tests. I think our funnels are going to be in better shape. Content. I think we're going to be producing more content, and it's going to be getting better results across all of our platforms. Our finance. I think our finance team is going to be operating better, bookkeeping. I think we're actually going to be saving more on taxes because of the up levels we're going to be making with our CPA. And coaching. I mean, a huge up level on the coaching side because we're going to be delivering a higher level of service to clients. You have a better system in place right now for training our coaches. And at the end of the day, that's really what we're going to be having to do to create more impact and really scale on that front in the business is, you know, getting better at coaching.
Isn't the case that in a small business, I mean, I don't know if we're small or starting to become mid-sized, but in a family business, you really are the best and the worst thing that can happen to your business.
Yeah.
Isn't that the case? I mean, you're the best in the sense that nobody cares like you do. Nobody thinks about it like you do. Nobody has the quality of the ideas or the follow through or the passion that you do. You're the best in that sense. But you're the worst in the sense that like you're the central hub that all the spokes lead to. And so if you lose capacity, if you don't engineer resilience or redundancy, then when you go down, everything goes down.
Exactly. And I am the type of person that naturally like is drawn to that hub of the wheel roll because I do it so naturally and well. But it's so important to my personal growth and the growth of the business that I'm able to sort of step out of that position. And it's a, cyclical process, let's just put it that way. But it's something that I look forward to with every maternity leave.
Love it. Love it. Well, I hope you guys got a lot out of this. I've been getting this question incessantly since Carrie got pregnant. So I hope that answers a lot of your questions. It gives you just a little sneak peek into how we think about this. I really want you to think personally, how can I take some of the things that I'm dreading or that I'm worrying about or that I feel like I could never bring into my life and actually use those as a catalyst for a massive positive change that you never thought was possible? All right. Thank you so much.